In the book of Jeremiah, we find the prophet of God lamenting over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And when you really consider it, it would have been fairly easy for Jeremiah to understand, based upon that destruction, that ancient Israel, the people of God, that he had called as his own people, were not pleasing God. And as a result of that destruction in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah called for the people to examine themselves and to return to God. If you go with me to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, Lamentations 3 and verse 40, we read, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." That suggestion for God's people to examine themselves has relevance for the New Testament Church of God today also. Paul the Apostle taught the early church how to properly observe the Passover. He wrote that it was a time for the people of God to self-examine themselves as a self-examination period of time. Turn with me a very familiar passages of Scriptures, but let's go there looking at it from this perspective today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 27. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. "Wherefore," or "therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread," meaning the bread of the Passover, "shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," and we've explained this number of times, meaning in an irreverent manner, as who really cares? It really is not that big of a deal. It's a lot of that kind of thought is what it's getting at. It's much bigger than unworthily. Which one of us is worthy to stand before God or to kneel before God and to take the Passover? Well, the answer is none of us. So it's very bad translation in that sense. "Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So it's real plain that it's a New Testament teaching also that we as the people of God are to be examining ourselves. And Paul puts it in the context of the Passover. It doesn't say, please understand, right from the very beginning, you already know the topic of today, right? Please understand from the very beginning, this is not a thing of that we examine ourselves and as a result of it, we come to the conclusion that we should not take the Passover. That's not it. That's not what is being stated. We examine ourselves and we do the Passover. But there are things that we're to see about ourselves, obviously. Verse 29, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily," or in an irreverent manner, "eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Talking about the Lord's body being Jesus Christ, beaten for us, but it is also talking about the Lord's body, meaning the church of God, one another. We're to be thinking about one another in a very godly manner in this particular time of the year, especially. Verse 30, "For this cause," because some have done it in an irreverent manner, have done it in an unworthy manner, to use the word here. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," meaning they're dead, they're in the grave. And like I said before, this may not even be the ones who were doing it in an unworthy manner. This may be somebody else was doing it in an unworthy manner, and as a result, not discerning the Lord's body, some have died. Now, that's serious. But this is what it says. Verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. Or we would not be damned," as it also says a little earlier. Paul later challenge the Corinthians to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. So it's not the only place it's stated, but go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 13 verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? So it becomes very plain. Paul's suggestion for the church at Corinth was that they would continually examine themselves. And at Passover time, self-examination is of very special of importance. Because we want to take it in a right heart, in a right attitude, a right frame of mind. When God's people examine themselves, I believe that there are several questions that need to be asked and need to be attempted to be answered. Some of those questions we're going to take a look at today. Not all, but some of those questions. Some questions such as, what is the purpose of the self-examination? We're told to do it, but why should we? Another, I think, good question is, what is the standard we need to use as we examine ourselves? And then another question I think that we need to think on and need to meditate on would be, what are some specific areas that we need to examine? So today, let us focus our attention on this idea of examining ourselves. First of all, brethren, what is the purpose of self-examination? Well, I believe, first of all, it is to prove ourselves and to determine if we are truly in the faith. That's what it says. Prove yourself, test yourself, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Paul said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Are we really walking with God? Are we really sincere about this way of life? Are we really devoted to God? Do we really know who God is? So there's a lot of questions that could come off of each one of these questions. And you can fill in other questions as you are going back over this, as you're examining yourselves before the Passover, and I myself also. The expression, in the faith, can mean a number of things. Not limiting it to the things that I'm going to say here, but in a very direct and a straightforward sense, it refers to believing a set of sure and true doctrines. It also means that the person who is in the faith is a real believer. It means that he or she is a faithful follower of God and of God's ways of doing things. Not my ways, but your ways. Jesus Christ said, not my will be done, but your will be done. It's that kind of heart. That's the person who examines themselves and comes to the determination that they are in the faith. It's that heart. It's that attitude. It is important that in our self-examination that we consider some things, such as whether or not we are remaining faithful to the Lord, whether or not we are following in His steps, whether or not we are obeying Him, whether or not we are growing more and more like He is. Please keep in mind that all humans have certain tendencies. We all kind of do the same thing just by the mere fact that we're human beings, flesh and blood and bone human beings. One of those tendencies that's pretty there among all human beings is we tend to let things slip. We may think, well, I'm a go-getter and I do this. And I don't know. If we really examine our lives, we've all, in some way or another, let things slip. There is a real and present possibility with that tendency being in human beings that we could all drift away. Now, that's sobering, that any one of us could drift away from the truth of God. For example, in Hebrews chapter 2, we are told to give heed to what we have heard. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, what are the things that we have heard? The things that are here, the things that are in this book, the things that are recorded in the pages of God, the Bible. Those are the things that we have heard, what the Bible has for us. And brethren, if slipping or if drifting is not dangerous enough, and that obviously is, Paul also warns Christians in Hebrews chapter 3 that it is possible to develop an evil heart of unbelief and to become hardened. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Please understand, he isn't talking to people who are not part of the body of Jesus Christ. These are true believers. These are followers of Jesus Christ. These are people that are willing to lay down their life for one another because that's what Jesus Christ was willing to do, and we are to follow him. And these were people who were doing these things, what we would call righteousness, holiness. He isn't talking to pagans out there who do any old thing that they want to do. He's talking about us, the church of God. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Remember earlier I said this is a time whenever we really should be praying for one another, talking to one another, encouraging one another. Should be doing this all the time, but at this time of the year especially. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceivableness of sin. It can happen. Now, it's obvious God does not want us to live our lives in terror or in fear that we might slip, that we might slip up, that we might not hang on. He doesn't want us to live in that kind of terror. He does not want us to walk around in a negative, fearful frame of mind. He does, however, want us to be very careful and positive about working out our salvation. He does want us not in a fearful terror, but we are to be in the presence of God and stand in awe of who and what God is and all that he is doing and all that he is capable of doing. Can he totally, completely wipe us out? Absolutely. Is he going to? No. 2 Corinthians 13:5 is the verse where it says, examining yourselves whether you are in the faith, implies that we can stand before God knowing we are a true believer. We can stand before God knowing that God is the one who has called us. We can stand before God knowing that God is the one who provides the faith for salvation. We can stand before God knowing that he is the one who will provide any and everything that we need to be faithful. And we can also stand before God knowing that he is the one who had this Bible written and preserved for us so that we would know who God is and what he is doing and what we need to be doing and standing before him in his presence. He tells us how to do that. He tells us that we can know that we are true followers and believers of God. For example, the book of 1 John says just that. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5 first. John 13, 1 John 5 verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It says, these things are written to us so we will know. We can know. Yeah, we're still encouraged to examine ourselves. Do we come short? Of course we do. But can we know? And the answer is yes, we can know. we can know that we have eternal life. And we can know that we believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If we examine ourselves, are we keeping His commandments? You know, yes or no? And I think the answer for all of us is, of course we are. Of course the answer is yes. Therefore, we can know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can know God as our Father. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. As we examine ourselves, do we? Are we really loving the brethren? He that loves not his brother abides in death, not in eternal life. Drop down to verse 24. You can read all the verses in between. They're all good. But go down to verse 24. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And so we move into another question. The second question I have is, we need to ask ourselves the question, is Jesus Christ in us? As we're examining ourselves, it says we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given unto us. So we have this as a possibility. We have this as a probability. We have this that we can know that Jesus Christ dwells in us. So the question is he? Is he dwelling in us? Verse 24 says that we can know. Paul challenged the Corinthians and all of us today to consider whether Jesus Christ was in them and is in us. He said, hey, think about this. Is he? Do we understand that it was promised by Jesus himself that he would be in us? And do we understand why Jesus Christ must be in us? Do we know these things? And these are things that are helpful for us to know as we examine ourselves. And for all of us, I'm sure, for most every person who is really true followers of Jesus Christ, who really is wanting to please God, really trying to put God first in all things. Yes, messing up from time to time, falling flat on our face and getting up and going on and repenting. And God forgives and washes it away. But we can know, and the answer to all of these is going to be yes. But we still have to take a look. Go with me to John, the Gospel of John 14. John 14 and verse 21. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest, make known myself to him. Verse 22. Judas, who was one of the disciples, said unto him, not Iscariot, but one of the other disciples, also known as Judas, said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, Father and Son, and we will come unto him who loves and does these things and keeps the words of God, and make our abode with him. And we read earlier that we can know that this is true, that Jesus Christ is in us. It begins when we put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 and 27, we'll read. Verse 26, Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we can know. It's pretty straightforward. And then we back up one chapter to chapter 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We can know this to be true. So at Passover, we examine ourselves to show that this is true. And then this verse goes on, which is also very important, so I'll read the rest of the same verse. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Knowing that Jesus dwells in us, very exciting good news for all of us, I would think. This should not be something that is ho-hum. This should be something that should really trigger some, I'm going to say, even emotion out of us. Now, I know we've had a tendency to people to not to show emotions. Wrong. God does. Jesus Christ does. Why would we not? Please understand that this is a gift of faith from God to really know that Jesus Christ dwells in us. And when we know this is true, we can be all the more anxious and happy to periodically examine ourselves. Because we want to examine ourselves to see how far off am I from where I need to be. It's not that I'm so far over here that it doesn't make any difference, because if you're so far over here it doesn't make any difference, you're not going to examine yourselves anyway. And that were the people that Paul was talking about back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, who were taking it in an irreverent manner. None of this made any difference to them. They were going through the motions. It wasn't really real. Brethren, God already knows all about us all the time anyway. Yet it is basically through self-examination that you and I come to know about ourselves. We learn what our true condition is. Through examination of self, we can come to really determine if we do know the Lord and if we really do know how we are relating to Him. What kind of relationship are we in with Jesus Christ and with God the Father? And so if we look at how He looks at us and how He does with us, and we see how close we are to that, that's what the examination is going to do. We're going to see these things about ourselves. If it's not to show us, oh, I'm so wicked, I've done so many bad things. If any of us have sinned once, if it were only once, except for the mercy of God and for the grace of God, we'd be dead anyway. So it's not numbers. It's not how bad. You know, sin is sin. And we tend to categorize sin. God doesn't. He doesn't say, now sin is, and He starts labeling it out and put them in this order. Sin is not living in a way of life that God wants us to live. That's real plain and simple. Sin is the transgression of the law. That means not living in the way of life that God wants us to live. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in calling for self-examination, asked the question, do you not know yourself? Go back to 2 Corinthians 13:5. We went there. We're going to see it again. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. We've kind of looked at that. Prove your own selves. We prove it by testing it against the Scriptures to see that are we really in the place where we need to be, and we need to be doing what we need to be doing and living this way of life. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Do we catch this? What it just told us. because we tend to read right over this. It is of supreme importance that we know and know that we know that Jesus Christ is in us. Otherwise, we are reprobates. That's what it says. I'm not reading more into it. I'm not reading less into it. That's what the scripture says. And if you've not seen it that way, go back and reread it and see if that's not what it is saying. James, in his writings, also warns us that we can easily fall into the trap of self-deception. We can fool ourselves. Yet, by self-examination, we do not have to fall into that trap. Go with me to the book of James, chapter 1. James 1. Begin reading in verse 22. James 1, verse 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We can kid ourselves into thinking, we humans, we can kid ourselves into say, yeah, we're doing what it says. And upon examination, we find out we're not anywhere close to what it is. We're to look at ourselves, examine ourselves. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, it has nothing to do with the fact that the person is doing and not doing. It's are they doing what the word says? Please don't misunderstand it. So, well, the people are not doing anything. Those who he's talking about. No, he's talking about people who are either not doing anything or doing something, but it's still not right. Are we doing what the word says? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and you could write in, I don't have it written in mind, but you could write it in so you can understand it, of the word, in other words, what it says, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, looks into the book and examines himself, continues therein, and what is here? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or of the word, that man is blessed in his doing. And what he's doing in his deeds. Because he's doing what he says. He's a doer of the word. And we can know. And we examine ourselves to see. Also in this same place, an important point to see is that the religion of a person who reads the word of God but does not act on what he reads, either doing nothing or doing something that's contrary to, is a useless religion. It's wrong. Well, it's okay if we do any of this is because God is so loving and so merciful. No, it doesn't. Not too long ago at the gym, this guy said, well, what kind of minister are you? And I said, well, I hope a true one. I don't know what your question means, but I know how I want to answer it. And he said, no, what do you do? I mean, tell me something about your church. And I went, we go to church on Saturday, not on Sunday. Oh, why you do that? And I said, because that's what the book says. And he's just looking at me and he says, but I don't think God is going to put me and fry me in hell forever for going to church on Sunday because God is very loving. And I went, I don't think he's going to put you in hell. You're going to fry forever anyway, whether you go to church on Saturday or Sunday or none at all. And he went, oh, so you don't believe that he's going to do that? And I went, no. And I don't even want to go there. But the point I'm making is how they come to the conclusion is, well, God is loving and God is merciful. The statement is true. Therefore, he will. That's an opinion. Because it's not based on the word. And they say what God will do and what, not only that's not what God says that he's going to do. So it's really interesting. So a person who has this type of useless religion is living in self-deceit. Because he thinks he's right, but he's deceived himself. James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, but bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, that what I'm doing is right. I go to church on this day, or I don't do this, or I don't do this, or I do this other thing, or whatever it is. This man's religion is vain because it's not based upon the Word of God. And so they are deceived, and they have self-deceived themselves. Now, I also understand, so if anybody doubts, that I know that Satan is the deceiver and is deceiving the whole world. I understand that. I understand that. But brethren, through periodic self-examination, we can avoid deceiving ourselves. So it can be stated that the need is ever present to examine yourselves, to prove yourselves. Let's go to a third question or statement. Another important question is, by what standard should we examine ourselves? Now, I've already talked about this without pointing it out, but of course the answer is the Word of God, the Bible. That's what we have. It's what He preserved. Thousands of people lived and lost their lives defending this book. And we have it because God wanted us to have it, because it's a standard by which we are to live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus Christ quoted that. It's recorded in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, when He is being tempted by Satan. That's what we're to live by. And so it's very plain. That's the answer. So the answer is very obvious. It's the Word of God. So let's take a look at some things as we examine ourselves, even about our view of that. The standard cannot be that we look at one another and make comparisons. The Bible is plain and tells us, don't do this. What do we tend to do? Do that. That's what we do. Well, I saw him, or I saw her doing that, and I thought it was okay. Wrong answer, you know. And we as humans do that all the time. We do that very, you know, it's just like part of who we are. We all know, deep down within our own selves, within our real beings, that we cannot always trust our own opinions of ourselves as being correct, can we? When you really look at it, we know that that statement is true. Even though we might think we are all right, we need to be sure and take a look at God's opinion for the final approval. It's not what I think about me. It's not what you think about me. It's what God thinks. It's not what you think about you or what I think about you. It's about what God thinks about you. In the end, it is only God's opinion that counts. It is only God who can commend or approve us. God is the final judge. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Who does God approve because he's living a particular way of life? That's what really matters. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, meaning of and by myself. I didn't come to the answers to any of this of and by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? Because he that judges me is the Lord. We can be wrong in our own basic assumptions, even about self. And as a result, this can lead to wrong conclusions about ourselves. We can be doing things that we just take for granted as being right, as being correct, only to learn later that we've made a mistake. When what we could have done, should have done, would have been to have simply looked into the book. Because that's what it's saying. And so if we do this self-examination periodically, especially at this time of the year for the Passover, we look in and find out, is this right or is it not right? And we can find the answers. The answers are there for us. I think one striking example is found in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, we're not going to go there because you know the story, but Paul thought he was right when he was persecuting and putting to death Christians. This man would have laid down his life thinking that he was right in what he was doing. And it became very obvious that it was not right. And Jesus himself knocks him down and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" I mean, you know, somebody bigger than me, you know, that you've just done this. And he says, "I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you've been persecuting. Why are you doing this, Paul?" And he says, "What do you want me to do?" What a repentant attitude. But he thought he was right. Paul was even using scripture to back up what he was doing. The problem was Paul had misunderstood what God had done through his son, Jesus Christ. Paul did not understand just whom he was persecuting. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ speaking. Verse 21, Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." How do we know what the will of the Father is? This standard, this book. Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name have done many wonderful works?'" That's not the point. Those are nice. Those are good. That's not the point. Verse 23. "And then will I profess to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" They thought they were doing what God wanted. They had simply not examined themselves by the standard, by Jesus Christ, the way he lived his life, and by this book, by the Word of God. From these verses, we find being approved of God must mean something more than simply doing good things, even in God's name. Our self-examination must go deeper than just looking at our good deeds. Is it wrong to look at the good deeds? No, that's not the point. It's not wrong to look at the good deeds. It's to look at, are we square with what God wants us to do, God's will being done. We have to use God's standard for our lives. And God's standard is surely not found in caring about the opinions of men. We cannot trust in their approval. Nor can we compare ourselves with others. In fact, God makes it very plain in Scripture to compare ourselves with others is unwise. I like to use another word. It's stupid. It's just dumb. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." The approval of others may be nice. May be pretty good to get that pat on the back. Maybe even what they're saying is accurate. But it is a very small thing in the overall scheme of things when you really think about it. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 3, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgments. Yes, I judge not mine own self." He let God judge him through looking at himself against a standard. When you really get into it, quite often people are wrong in their thoughts and evaluations about themselves anyway. Me included, you included. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Notice we missed it. We thought it was right, but it was wrong. Go back to Matthew 7, back to the Sermon on the Mount, and the words of Jesus Christ, verse 13. Matthew 7:13, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Because we'd rather go by our own opinions or what other people say as opposed to what God says. The only available and trustworthy standard by which to examine ourselves is therefore the Word of God. We have the example of Jesus Christ in the Word of God that we can see an example. But it's this whole of this book that we put together and see how we are to live. And we have the example of Jesus Christ. He did it right every time. So we have his example. And we go to this book and see, where are we in that whole scheme of things? Are we doing it like Jesus Christ did it or would do it? And the answer is yes or no. The answer is either yes or no. We need to try or to examine ourselves by the standard of God's word. Not just once, but over and over and over in a very diligent way. Looking at ourselves probably actually on a daily basis. Again, we come back to why do we keep recommending Bible study on a daily basis? Because we're examining ourselves by what we're reading on a daily basis when we do that. And as we submit ourselves and humble ourselves to God through searching His Word, we keep in mind that it is the approval of God that really is important. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. We can read in 1 Corinthians 4, that it is God who is the ultimate judge. Verse 4 says, 1 Corinthians 4:4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. We're not going to one another. We're not even looking at self to see if, you know, I can determine whether or not, you know, where I am. No, we go to the example of Jesus Christ. We go to the Word of God. That's what we do. As Jesus himself said, we will be judged by his words. The Gospel of John chapter 12, John 12:48, John 12:48. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What are the words that he has spoken? It's this. So the only appropriate standard that we use when we examine ourselves is the Word of God. Brethren, we cannot afford to allow ourselves to be fooled into simply thinking that and trusting our feelings. Oh, I feel like I'm doing okay is not enough. Maybe we are, but it's still not enough. Let's put it like this. Do you want to trust that what we feel about ourselves, that I'm doing okay, and you've got a, if it's yes, then you can go into eternal life, and it's not, you're not going to go in? I mean, would any of us take that challenge? Probably not. But it's how we most of the time live our life. Nor can we afford to trust what others might say. Oh, you are really doing great. You did this and you're doing that. I hope so. However, you know, how much is that of value? Probably not much. You know, maybe it's encouraging to you and it's a pat on the back and you need it at the time, but is it really what you're going to base your life on? Because I hope not. Our present spiritual condition and our future eternity inevitably depends first and foremost upon who it is that we trust. Is it self? Is it someone else? Or is it God? Those are the only choices we have. Well, it could be our Satan. That'd be someone else. But it's only three choices. Self, someone else, or God. That trust must be in God our Father and in Jesus Christ our older brother. Please understand, nothing else or no one else will do. As we come to the conclusion of this sermon, I'd like to kind of put some points out here that I believe that are points of truth for us to take and for us to meditate on and look at ourselves as we examine ourselves. God will work with us by His Spirit. That is a truth. God will show us what we need to know about ourselves. That is a truth. God will provide all that we need as we go through this salvation process with Him. That is a truth. God knows what He is doing. That is a truth. Brethren, please allow me to ask a couple of questions that I would ask each one of us to think on, to meditate on, as we examine ourselves before the Passover. Do we have the faith to believe this? And a second question, do we live with that hope and in that faith? We are simply told, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. And this is what the standard that we use. So let's do that. Let's examine ourselves and be prepared and ready for the Passover. The Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his sons, and saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you in your examining yourselves as we prepare for the Passover.